thank you, Father. We thank you for raising up this altar that unites us, O God, at your feet as we wait upon you. And by your Spirit, O God, you open our understanding to the things of your kingdom, to establish us and to make us effective soldiers of your kingdom, and to fulfill the mandate that you've called us unto. So, Father, tonight we thank you. We yield this moment to your Spirit. Father, we thank you for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. We thank you for understanding. Father, thank you for the revelation of Jesus in all that we do. And we glorify you tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you so much for muting your phone. It's still just a little bit of noise still on the background. By God's grace, we are recording this message so that we can go back and listen to it. I want to thank you all for your prayers and just your love for God, your commitment to God really inspires all of us. And I just look forward to be with a family of people who pray. And I pray tonight that God will begin to give us some understanding as we enter into a very prophetic season in our time. Like I shared last week, that I will begin to share some things to prepare us for a very special season. First, let me say this before we go into the word of the Lord. There are things in the, certain things in the Bible that as we all grow and understand the things of the Lord, God begins to take us from glory to glory and begin to really unlock some things that establishes us in victory in everything that we do. And so one of them has been since 2006. That's when God started opening my understanding to seasons, and first of all, the way I had to understand it, God always deals with me from the natural point. He talks about the seasons of the times of sowing and the times of reaping. He says there's a time to sow, there's a time to reap. Even Galatians talks about those that sow to the flesh reap of the flesh, and those that sow, to the Spirit reap, eternal life. So the law of sowing and reaping is a principle that still governs life from the day creation began. Now, also there are four seasons that we know very well in this part of the world that governs the atmosphere of this certain continent, and that's the spring, the summer, the fall, and the winter seasons. There's nothing you can do. Those seasons come, and it is a cycle every year. We cannot ignore it as human beings. Those are laws. They govern the atmosphere of nature. So God put that in place, and there are seasons. So God talks about the seasons in the Bible, in the life of the children of Israel. So the law of sowing, it talks about the time, the seasons of harvest. For you to expect harvest, there has to be a time of sowing. And then in our natural lives, we have our birthdays. The days we are born is kind of a day that none of us forgets. We celebrate it because it's a season in our life that we cannot ignore. It's a memorial. It's a time that we identify with that very day we were born. It's a day of covenant, a day that God told Jeremiah, while you're in your mother's womb, I knew you, and then I sent you forth. So God ordained that day specifically, and it's called our birthday. Our birthday. So with the kingdom of God, there is no coincidences. Everything that God has ordained has been finished from the foundations of the world. So like our birthdays is natural, we don't forget it, other people celebrate it. And most of us even make very big deal about 50 birthdays 70th year or 25 years, you know, those kind of a thing, anniversaries, you know, wedding anniversaries, we don't forget it. You know, it's a day that we remember a covenant was made, and we remember it through the years we celebrate it. So these are memorials. They govern the cycle of our natural life. So because when God was showing me all this, then he started showing me that there are certain seasons that God has made covenant with man in the earth. And these seasons, they govern also the spiritual cycles of our life, like the seasons of sowing and reaping. You have to know when to sow during this cycle, so you know when to receive harvest because of the early and the latter rain in farming. So, if you look at the New Testament, you see references also made to these seasons in a spiritual context. You know, the book of James says the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth until he receives the early and the latter rain, as a cycle of rain, as a spiritual cycle. So when Israel, God started covenanting with Israel as a nation, God now started establishing principles that will govern the nation of Israel. One, he brought them under the law of Moses, but then he established seasons, and eventually the seasons were established as the feast seasons in the book of Leviticus 23 and other parts of the Bible. God gave it to them as the feast seasons. But so I just wanted to lay this background, because the same feast season you will see after the new covenant was established through the death of Christ and the blood, you see that these feast seasons were not just for Israel. Jesus came and fulfilled the seasons in his time. And you see the Passover happened exactly the same time, you know, that Jesus, you know, Moses had the time with Israel, and then Jesus during his own time with the birth of the church. And you see the Pentecost, you see the first fruit. So all these things have prophetic alignment. So that shows there are spiritual, major spiritual parallels to these seasons. So when I started understanding it, I started consecrating the seasons as moments of just harvest seasons, time to reap, time to go to another level, time to do invent, times to just, you know, surrender to the Lord. And to my surprise, every one of these seasons, I was an open heaven of fresh encounter with the Lord in a very tangible way. So I knew there was something to these seasons, you know. So and since then, it's been an amazing experience. So I'll be sharing with you more or less more next week about what we're going to be doing in the season that is upon us, beginning from trumpets, Yom Kippur, to the Feast of Tabernacles. I will lay that, the prayer points for that, for individuals, for families, for your cities, for your church, and for the nation. We'll look at that next week. And the prayer points that we'll be sharing that next week, on how you can experience a season of deliverance, a season of favor, a season of breakthrough, and a season of entering into another level of your spiritual destiny. And you know, I might share some testimonies why those things are reality. So we'll look into that next week. But I want to use today, and hopefully if we don't finish today, we will still cover some of them next week before we really go into this season. Because by the grace of God, every one of you will really have a personal encounter, and the prayer points are going to be very, very impacting to you as you encounter the Lord in this season. So for us to properly embrace this season and to really be open to God doing an amazing things in our life, I want to begin to share some things that we're going to exercise in this season that is coming. And I pray that the Lord will speak to you personally. As I started praying into this and God started showing me, it started expounding and expounding, and it was so hard for me to, it was just explosive, and it was so hard for me to know where to begin. So I started making notes. So it started becoming so many subjects. So whatever we don't even finish now through this season, I will continue eventually, because God just started unlocking so many things as we enter the season regarding what I'm about to share with you. So we're going to start with the subject unveiling Satan's war strategy. Unveiling it, just exposing it. And the general subject, subject one, unveiling Satan's war strategy. But the topic we're going to be looking at is spiritual warfare. And bracket open and close, if you're taking notes, will be legal battles, like, you know, legal, the term in law, legal battles. So this first one we're looking at is unveiling Satan's war strategy. I have always asked some questions. Why sometimes we have a lot of spiritual casualties? Sometimes we go through things, all of us go through things. We pray. Of course, some things, we are in a season of training, we're in a wilderness, God is preparing us. But in other cases, there are some things that might be hindering certain breakthroughs in our lives, but we might not understand why. And, you know, sometimes I ask the Lord, how long will some things last? So God will explain to me, some are preparation, some are seasons God is teaching me, warfare and stuff. But other things are, I have not come to understand the level of the warfare involved and what kind of weapon I need to apply in this particular battle. So when God unveils it and I apply it, I see that it works. Because so what the Lord started showing me now is end time battle strategy. It's not like these strategies, we don't know it, but this strategy is what will give us sustained victory at all times. And this strategy uproots, it not only builds a wall of immunity around you for any kind of battle attack, but it also puts you in a situation where you are empowered, you are put in a position where God fights your battles. So we want to start tonight with what I call unveiling Satan's war strategy. I want to start with a scripture tonight in the book of Revelations, the book of Revelations chapter 12. This is the ultimate secret of spiritual warfare. You know, Revelations 12, I want to read from verse 10 and 11. Of course, if you read these chapters before, it said there was war in heaven, the dragon, Satan, came in all his, the dragon, the serpent, the devil, the Satan, in all these things they were describing Satan all about. Let me just read that part. Revelations 12, verse 9. Is okay, let's start from 7. Like I told you, there was just so much boiling in my spirit. Revelations 12, 7. And there was war in heaven. War. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels cast out with him. Now, these two next verse is where I want to major on. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God before our God day and night. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And they loved not their life unto the death. So here he describes what was going on in the heavens, major war, spiritual war. But then he describes on earth here what also has been happening, and the nature of the engagement of warfare those that overcame did. So let's look at verse 10 and 11 again. He says, and I heard a voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God, day and night. Verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood. That the word overcame there means they subdued. They were victorious. They won. They overthrew. They prevailed. They were victorious by the blood of the Lamb. So let's one of the best way that God teaches me deep spiritual things for me to receive it is he uses the natural side, and he makes the natural side so plain and comprehensible. Then he shows me the spiritual side, then it makes sense. And that's what we're going to do by the grace of the Lord. So here in Revelations, this mystery of spiritual warfare is being unlocked in the last book of the Bible. But this warfare started all the way in Genesis, all the way from the garden. It took place in heaven, came down on earth, started in the garden, and of course now in this book of Revelation the mystery was unfolded, what the ultimate strategy of spiritual warfare was all about. And it was finally unlocked on the cross when Jesus was there and finally defeated Satan and now gave the principles of spiritual warfare, how to win every battle through the blood on the cross. So let's look at it in the natural. In the natural first. Here it says, now is come salvation, meaning strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. This is where God now showed me something. In the natural, he used the word here, the accuser. Now we're talking about Satan, the dragon, Satan in all his characteristics. And his weapon here is, says, the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren. Oh my God. So now, that word accuser, if you open your Bible in Greek, is the word for, they call it complainant at law. Is the word for a complainant at law. One that charges somebody of an offense in the court of law. And then it says he accuses them day and night before God. Day and night. So here he says the word accuse them. The first word accuser means complainant at law. The second word accuse them is the word in Greek for plaintiff. Plaintiff. The two are the same, but is the word used in the court of law, in the natural court of law. This is in the Bible. but is used today in the natural court of law as somebody who files a suit or somebody who accuses you and takes you to court against an offense or something before a judge, and the person demands for their right, they demand for justice, and they accuse you before the judge. So he says Satan's strategy is an accuser, meaning Satan is a complainant, is a plaintiff, and Satan has access in his domain, because it's between heaven and earth, has access to accuse people on earth before the throne of God. Before the throne of God, of course, we'll get all this eventually later, but we can read it plainly here. Day and night before God. How this happened, we'll look into it later. And they overcame him by the blood. So first of all, let's look at the court of law. In the court of law, in the natural, for you to have a plaintiff, there must be somebody that is being accused, brought before court. And for you to accuse somebody, there must be a court of law. And for there to be a court of law, there must be a justice. And the person who brings justice is a judge, and he sits on that throne and offers justice. So here is a spiritual warfare being described from the viewpoint of a place of law. And he's talking about warfare. So here he says, Satan's wars against believers through the power of accusation, being a plaintiff, and accuses them before God. Now they overcame by the blood. Now let's read a few more scriptures, and then we'll look at, get more understanding from this. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. I'll read quite just a little bit lengthy. It explains itself, so I just want you to listen quickly to this. Romans chapter 5, I will read from verse 8 to 21. Let me read from verse 8. It says, from verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement, the reconciliation, atonement. Please take note of that. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, that's to the law, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. Much more, the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. That as sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign to righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So, here Paul was making reference to this whole thing about the law, about the judge, but he didn't use that. He was talking about where from the first place, where did this start? How did this war started? How did it enter? Where did it start from? He went straight back to the beginning in the garden, and it was Satan's weapon and strategy from the beginning, because of the ignorance of Adam and Eve in the context of spiritual warfare, and it's still happening to unsuspected believers today. What was the first warfare? It was God. Satan did not let Adam and Eve understand that God reigns in his throne, but God also sits on the seat of a judge. And because the word of God is one with God, the constitution of heaven is forever settled. That's the word of God. So anything that comes proceeds out of the mouth of God as his word. The moment any created being disobeys or doesn't submit to the will of God, then they automatically bring judgment upon themselves, because they've not submitted to the will of God. But God has made provision for us to escape, you know. So now Satan did, of course, that happened to him in heaven, but here on earth, when he started, the first warfare was with Adam and Eve, and you all know the story. God told them, of everything I've made is all yours, but of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. Now when Satan came to Adam and Eve, what did he do? He started talking to Eve. He says, you know, nothing will happen to you. God knows that the day you eat of this thing, you just be like God. He started deceiving them and blinding them from understanding that God is a God of justice, meaning God and his word cannot change. God and his word cannot change. So he deceived them in believing that disobeying God had no consequences, but they will become just like God. So we all know the story, what happened. So the first spiritual warfare in the garden was a deception for Adam and Eve to disobey the word of the Lord. So they disobeyed, and that was the fall of man. It was not just a fall, it was a shift of power. From that moment, Satan now took over power and started ruling over man. Adam and Eve were cut off, you know, from the presence of the God, you know, and then Satan started ruling man. From that moment, of course, we know the soul that sinner shall die. I mean, a separation from God. And now Satan had power over man from that moment. But something happened in that garden before Satan had that power to rule over man. It was the way to fight the devil back. The way to fight back and the way to prevail. There was a strategy to win this war that was waging. When Adam and Eve, after they ate the fruit, God came in the garden and started asking them. He says, have you, you know, eaten of this? He was looking for Adam and Eve. What did they do? They started hiding their sin. They started hiding behind the bush. They started putting fig leaves. And God asked Adam, why did you do this? Adam says, it was Eve. Eve, why did you do this? Eve said, it was the devil. So what God was looking for then, they did not give it to him. The best weapon against Satan is repentance. The best way to win every battle, to get your position back, to take your right back, to go to stand again before the throne of God, to regain your place of authority, to regain your status, no matter the mistake, no matter any form of disobedience, the most powerful weapon to regain your position and dethrone Satan is repentance. But they did not repent. So because of their lack of repentance, something happened. Because of lack of repentance, they were disconnected from God, and now they were under the rule of Satan. So this is now a spiritual warfare. So in Revelations, if we fast forward back to Revelations, it means that something happened in that garden that Adam and Eve did not understand. What happened? Let's look at what Revelation said. He said, this is a strategy Satan uses. He says, he comes before God after he has tricked us into doing something that he knows has violated the law of God's kingdom. Then he tricks us and makes us think that repentance keeps us away from repentance. So in Revelation it says he accused them. He accused. He's always the accuser. So that means in the book of Genesis, after Adam and Eve ate that thing, why did God come? He came as a judge. Why? Because Satan accused Adam and Eve before his throne that they have violated him, and they also deserve judgment like he deserved, because God cannot divide, cannot break his law, because God and his word is one. So now God came to Adam and Eve and was seeking the most powerful weapon, but they did not understand it then, and they did not repent. If they repented, they would have restored themselves and took their power back and restored with God. But they did not repent. So lack of repentance opened the realm of darkness to them, and Satan started ruling, and they became captives to the powers of darkness. So that's how Satan fights. That was unlocked in the book of Revelation. But then he used the word, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Time is just running. I'm just trying to lay this. So now they overcame by the blood. Really quickly, because of time for today, if you look at in the book of Romans, in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 2, a principle was written here by Paul. He says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. So you see here in Romans 8:2, again, we'll look at this more later, Paul is talking about spiritual laws that govern both the kingdom of God and the laws that govern the earth. Okay, he talks about the law of sin and death. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. But then he still talks about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's now the law that operates, the law of grace that operates when we enter into Christ. But before we get to we will look in depth into that maybe next time, obviously. Let's look quickly at a natural way to enter into this law of the law of sin and death, and how to overcome it through repentance. Here is a principle for time. I don't know if I can. For time, let me just read something that happened here in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 12, I read from verse 12. It says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment, and I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token, a sign upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this shall be unto you a memorial," something you never forget. So really quickly, there are two major feasts in the seven feasts that God gave to Israel. And these two major feasts are the mysteries of the power of the blood. But what does it mean? What does the blood mean? It's a revelation of the power of repentance and the forgiveness that comes through repentance. Now, how does that work? So here in the book of Exodus, God did something, because the children of Israel has not yet understood the power, the mystery of repentance. So God did something. He told Moses, he says, "I'm coming to be a judge, because the timing I've given to these people to repent, to Egyptians to repent, is now. And they're not repenting. So I'm going to sit as a judge on this particular day, because there's no repentance coming out of Egypt. But if I sit as a judge, who will escape when I judge? Because their sin has been, the accusation has come up to God in heaven, and their time for judgment has come. Why? They've been killing firstborns, and they've been killing. Now time has come that God requires justice upon Egypt. So now every firstborn is going to die in Egypt, and God is going to require that from Egypt. So now God says, "I'm going to judge, but this is what you're going to do to escape it, and this is what will separate you from the Egyptians. You are going to kill a lamb, every family, and take the blood of this lamb and put on your doorpost. And when I see this blood, I will pass that house, because that blood is a sign of a house that is experiencing the covering of repentance, or the covering of forgiveness." So now God told them to kill this lamb to become a substitution for their judgment. So that lamb dies, because it's the first lamb. You know, all of them keep this. God gave them specification for the lamb. So this male lamb. So this lamb is being substituted for, is being judged, is being killed, and the blood of this lamb is put on every house. So every house that blood is, has already escaped judgment, because the blood is a sign that something has already died in place of them. But any house where that blood is not, the firstborn in that house will die. So the lamb became a substitutional salvation, deliverance, everything that God for that house. So he says, "When I see that blood." So you all know the story that happened. Now they came out of Egypt based on that principle. I would like to emphasize on that, but time will not allow me. But there's another feast again that God used to show more clearly the mystery of forgiveness and repentance, is the Day of Atonement. Now they've come out of Egypt because they didn't really understand the power, the strategy of spiritual warfare when Satan accuses people. They don't understand what's going on in the spirit. So God is doing this to the natural man until they come to a place of maturity, and he will reveal this strategy like he did in the book of Revelations. So what did he do? He gave Israel a strategy. And every year, on the Day of Atonement, God sits as a judge. They didn't understand that. But he calls them on the Day of Atonement to take 10 days from the Day of Trumpets, 10 days, every Israel, every Jew will have to search their heart, search their job, search families, do everything, and they will repent. And they will take animals and goats and whatever and take it as their sacrifice to the temple. And they offer this. But then all of them will also commit and repent as a nation. All the 12 tribes will submit, they will repent as a nation, and the high priest carries stones, 12 stones on his breast. On that Day of Atonement, the high priest will take two lambs. One of them he will confess, take the sin of the whole Israel. After he's done his own, of course, he will take this, he will confess his own sin, but he will confess the sin of the whole Israel, and he will confess it and put it on the head of that lamb. And then there's another one. So they will take, he will take one lamb. I'm just rushing for time. We'll go further into this, no problem. He will take one of those lambs, he will slaughter it. He will slaughter it and take the blood of that lamb and then sprinkle upon himself and then take it and go into the Holy of Holies. Why is he able to come into the Holy of Holies with the blood? Because under the law, under the Old Testament, the accusation against their sin comes before the throne of God. But then something has to be judged, something has to pay for the sin of Israel, so that their sins will be covered every year and Israel will not receive judgment. So every year a lamb is judged for the sins of Israel, and another one is sent out as an scapegoat out there already cursed, and it goes, suffers the curses that would have come, the judgment that would have come on Israel, that lamb will suffer it. Then the other one dies for it. So Israel's sin is atoned for, or the word is covered. So every year they are covered. But what gives them covering is because of repentance. When they repent, their sins are now put upon the goat. Their sins are now put upon the animal. So something is judged. But then the blood, because of their repentance, covers them. The blood keeps them away from accusation, because the accusation has been paid for. So now Satan can accuse them. So now they are open to enter into the blessings of the Lord for the next year. And they are open now to enjoy the provisions of destiny. The promises of God are released upon Israel. Their rain, their seasons of harvest, their provision, their health, everything is released into their destiny, because there is no accusation against them. So that's the power of the Passover and the power of atonement. But the ultimate, if I can just get quickly to it tonight, was now what I just read to you in Romans, that what the Adam did out of disobedience, the whole world was plunged into sin, and sin, the law of sin and death entered man. So all men died without God. So now the Old Testament now has to do with just using the blood of animals as a substitute for the covering of man to come into relationship with God, with Israel. So now when Jesus came, what he came to do as a lamb, he came to be a substitutional lamb, just like the lamb that was. So Jesus took on, from what you read in Romans, he came as a lamb and he took on the sin and the judgment that was pronounced upon sin. Everything the first Adam did to release a curse upon the earth, to release judgment and seasons of judgment upon the whole human race, that they are separated from God, that came upon Jesus on the cross. So now, what has happened now is Jesus now took on the cause and every consequence of sin upon himself in the flesh and died. And then he made a statement. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. Now, that forgiveness means God, Jesus has now paid the price. Forgiveness means your debt has been paid. You are free to go. You can't go to jail. You can't, you come under the judge, you've been sentenced, but now somebody has paid your debt, you're free. You see? But you cannot receive that freedom, you cannot receive that deliverance, you cannot receive the provisions of what Jesus did on the cross until you repent. Repentance brings you under the blood and brings you into the blood. So that's why when Jesus came, the first message that came out of his mouth is, repent, for the kingdom of God has come. The word repent is simply the word for restoration. The word repent is also is the power of dethroning Satan in every way. For example, you know, when some of the things I wanted to share, we can't get to it, but we'll look more in depth. I'll just continue next Wednesday and establish this principle in warfare. But I'll just lay in the groundwork so that when we get to the warfare place, you will not believe how Satan has been robbing the church. Every time you see the scripture say, if my people that are called by my name shall repent, or in Isaiah 59 where he says, the ears of God is not deafened, his eyes is not blind, but your iniquity has separated. All this stuff, you see them calling for repentance. Repentance is more than what we understand it to be. Repentance is a spiritual warfare. It's a strategy. Amen. Sorry, our time is gone tonight. We'll continue next week. After we are finished, you will dethrone everything you unknown to you that has been used as weapons of attack on you, and you begin to see unspeakable restoration in your life. You will understand the blood and repentance in a way you've never known before, and the devil will not have even a ground to battle with you. You will prevail, you will rule, and we'll see how they overcame by the blood, they subdued by the blood, when we get deeper into it next week. Sorry if I couldn't establish as I wanted to do this week. Father, I thank you for beginning this process with us as we are preparing to enter into a strategic season in the nation, in your calendar. Father, I pray that as we go home, let's take this week to open our understanding to read more on the blood, to read more on repentance, to study your word in relation to forgiveness. Father, thank you for this revelation of the ultimate spiritual warfare strategy on unveiling Satan's deceptive strategy. Father, prepare the way for us to really receive this, that we can truly regain our position and be able to overcome every opposition that stands in our way. Thank you for your children tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.